Oh man, I'm so pumped for this Avatar ride! Flight of Passage is gonna be awesome!
Better be good. I've been in line so long, I could have watched Avatar 1 and 2 by now.
Hey, speaking of which, did Cody ever find Avatar 3?
Don't know. Last I heard, he had some leads from somewhere in Sector 7. He's not promising anything, but he did find out what the title is. Avatar, Fire and Ash.
Oh, hell yeah!
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Next!
Finally, let's do this.
Oh man, it's happening.
Hey, read the sign. Your head must be at least this small to ride this ride.
What?
Hey, look, I don't make the rules. Hey, why don't you try the teacups?
Sorry, Ryan.
Well, it's a stupid rule.
This stupid big head. This happens to me every time.
Yeah, that sucks, Ryan. Maybe Chad could do something. Maybe he can make your heads smaller somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, Ryan, I mean, if Chad can bring people back from the dead, I'm sure he can make your head smaller, no problem.
You think?
I'm sure Chad could do it, buddy. Don't worry. Or you could try the Zoltar machine.
The Zoltar machine?
Yeah, it's over there in the Haunted Games section. It grants wishes to people who are recently embarrassed in some way. But you know what? Never mind. Forget I said anything.
No, really, what?
It's just that anyone who uses the Zoltar machine always ends up having to deal with unforeseen consequences, and I don't know if you're ready for that, buddy.
Dave, do you have any idea what it's like living with a head this size? I'm willing to deal with some supernatural shenanigans if you'll let me ride this ride.
Okay. Don't say I didn't warn you.
In the not-too-distant future of the neo-post-apocalypse, a group of movie fans, led by their charismatic but oafish leader Dave, brings the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
My wish, right? I wish I had a smaller head. Your wish is granted. Wait, is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Now you gotta wait till daytime and we'll see if your head turned out the way you wanted it to.
Don't worry, Ryan. I'm sure nothing will possibly go wrong dealing with the supernatural devil thing that you probably just sold your soul to.
Yeah, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. Say, you guys want to head back to the store and watch Big?
Big? Why?
No reason.
You know, I've never actually seen that.
Really? Well, come on, guys. Let's go. I think you'll like it. Come on, Ryan. There's nothing left to do with that Zoltar machine. Once you get the card, it's all done.
Guys, something's not right.
Holy shit! Ryan! Your head, it's pulsating.
Ew, gross!
Oh, God! What's happening to me?
Oh, my God! Ryan, your head, it's
smaller?
Yeah.
Wait, what's wrong?
Well, I mean, it is smaller, I'll say that.
Tell me!
How do I put this? Jackie?
You look like one of those tiny head guys from Beetlejuice.
What?
Yeah, I mean, you'd definitely be allowed on the Avatar ride now, but you'd probably be chased away as a horrible freak. And that's saying something, given that we're in Bartertown.
Aw, man.
Okay, well, you guys want to go watch Big, or...?
Yeah, totally.
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, then.
Guys, do you have a quarter? I'm all out. Guys? Good grief.
Josh Baskin was tired of always being told where to go, what to do, and how to do it. He was tired of being a kid.
Make my wish right. Wish I were big.
For most kids, growing up seems to take forever.
Sweetheart, you're gonna miss the bus and I can't drive you today.
But for Josh Baskin, all it took was a good night's sleep. Tom Hanks. Is big. But his mind has a ways to go.
I mean, I like you and I want to spend the night with you.
Do you mean sleep over?
Yeah.
Okay. But I get to be on top.
Big. A comedy for people of all sizes.
Oh, boy.
This summer, think big.
So how is your head feeling, Ryan?
I think it's feeling pretty good. I think
you're liking it, huh?
Yeah, I've had to tighten my hat like a couple notches down, you know?
All your specialty big head hats?
Yeah, I might have to go with the...
I think you're going to have to start using socks on your head instead of hats.
I might have to go from an extra, extra large to just an extra large, you might, you know?
Well, I mean, if it makes you feel any better, if you change your mind, you could take some quarters out of the, I guess you only need one quarter. You could take a quarter out of one of the tills, and if you change your mind and go back.
Okay. Yeah.
But it will take six weeks because the carnival's
gone. It's going to take a while to find the Zoltar machine.
And we don't have a consumer affairs department, so it's probably going to take even longer now I think about it.
Yeah. Fuck.
I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by Small Head Ryan.
Well, damn, I didn't even look at anything. I can just do the whole movie. We got Jimmy, Jimmy, Coco Pop, Jimmy, Jimmy.
Just do the whole monologue.
I had a biscuit, cheese, and Triscuit, a biscuit, ice cream, soda, with vanilla, chowder.
Ten times a week.
I get it, I get it. Stole my mom's credit. I'm cool, I'm hot. Punch me in the face about three more times. Yeah, there you go.
Or something like that.
And before I introduce Mike, I don't mean to embarrass you like this, Mike, but I wanted to tell you... I loved your ideas on the Squeezy doll line.
God.
Oh, I remember the line I wanted to do. I wanted to go like, so the robot's a bug. There, <that's> like, the robot turns into a bug.
Mike, I'm sorry that I made that advance to you at the party, okay?
I'm 3 months older
really
than you,
loved
asshole.
I loved your ideas on the Squeezy doll line.
Well, he just told you he's 3 months older than you, asshole, so.
And we're also joined by Jackie.
I don't get it. And that's me quoting the mean guy at the end, not Tom Hanks.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
He thought he fucking served when he was like, this is going to be a great callback. And then no one laughed. And the one guy's like, come on.
I don't get it.
Well,
stop it.
So, before we get into anything, Mike, this was your first time watching this movie.
Jackie didn't rate it at least four stars,
I noticed.
You never seen it either.
Oh, Jackie, you never seen it? You were hiding. You were holding out on us.
That's why I was initially like, yeah, I don't need to be on this. And I know that I'm probably going to be the cheese that stands alone on some things about this film.
The cheese that stands alone.
That's me. Stinky.
You didn't get it after all.
Well, we'll get into some things. I'm not the first person to talk about the weird sex things about this movie.
Oh no, definitely not. Well, Mike, you claim to like this movie, but yet you didn't give it at least 4 stars on Letterboxd, I noticed. What's that all about?
Wow.
Checking his homework, huh?
I gave it 3.5 stars, which last I checked is more than down the middle, indicating a likeness. I like the movie. No, I did like this movie. I was actually, you know, it's like one of those movies, like The Goonies or, I don't know, Ghostbusters, you know, like these movies that like a lot of like kids see and like hold in high regard. And you wonder like...
Big nostalgia objects.
Yeah, you go back to it and you wonder like, is this going to play if I never grew up with it? And some do, some don't. I would put this in the category of movies that do work. Like I totally get... I could see if you saw this movie a lot as a kid, like just absolutely loving it. Like I do think it's a good movie. It was better than I expected it. Not that I expected it to be like trash or anything, but I thought it was like even better than I thought. I didn't like think it was like the best movie ever or anything like that. I had some issues, I think, but I did like it quite a bit. And I think like there's a lot to really like about this movie. And I could totally see like as a kid, if you're a kid in the right year, in the right era, this being like a big formative. I get why this movie is a thing. Totally.
Another Penny Marshall joint for us on the show. Is this our second Penny Marshall?
At least second, unless she snuck a few gems in there.
But yeah, this is a Penny Marshall movie. Right?
I mean,
say again?
You guys did League of Your Own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, League of Their Own. That's the other one. I think I'm just looking at her filmography. That's the only other one
with her
done.
Buddy Tom.
To steal a line from another podcast, Ryan, would you say that Big was essentially her blank check? Like, this is when she got her blank check?
I don't know. I think it's more of like, I mean, I know, because I think there was never really like that with the, you know, women directors, I feel like. They always proven themselves, I think. You know?
Yeah, budget of $18 million and it made $151 million. So this movie did well.
Hit. I think she's, you know, buddies with a lot of like, you know, like you saw... wasn't there like Rob Reiner in the credits or like James L. Brooks was in the credits?
Oh, yeah.
There's
yeah.
weird like Nepo stuff going on with this movie because it was like the only movie that Ann Spielberg wrote, who's the sister of Steven Spielberg.
Did she write it?
She co-wrote it with her and Gary Ross, who's like a childhood friend. If you look at the credits for like both of them, it's pretty much like...
I don't think that considers a Nepo baby. It's a...
Nepo sister.
Like, yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Well, and also their parents weren't in Hollywood, so...
But I don't think Ann Spielberg would have gotten this job if not for Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, but I don't know, that's just like...
Nepo sister? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly, that's why I said...
But is that considered... I don't know. The Nepo thing needs to... People need to cool it on that, I think.
You know. Only call it out if they're shitty.
Yeah.
It is weird though. I mean, because like if you look at the credits for her, for Ann Spielberg, it's basically this. Like she co-wrote this, and I mean she like worked for Steven Spielberg and co-wrote this. In her credits, there is an interesting Apocalypse Video tie-in. She is. I don't know how true this is, but she, at least in the Chattopedia, is listed as an uncredited co-writer for Small Soldiers.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, that was also a Spielberg-produced movie, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Dante's part of the
Dreamworks.
Whole Spielberg, you know.
Yeah, like production.
World. So it doesn't seem surprising, really, I think, because it's just that if they work all for Amblin, you know, and he's giving jobs to his family.
He's a jobs creator, exactly.
Yeah. And which one's Anne? Is that what's her name from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? That is Anne in The Fablemans. You think? Which one is?
She was played by Julia Butters in The Fablemans.
Yeah, Julia Butters. I wonder if that was Julia Butters.
You always try to connect it back to Fablemans.
Always about Sammy Fableman.
Everything.
The greatest movie ever made.
This movie wouldn't exist if they hadn't been cucked by.
It's by Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen.
You and the country of France. Ryan and the country of France are the people I like by far love the Fablemans.
The key to all this was the Fablemans. The king of
I love when I found that out, that like France is obsessed, like the France critical cinema world loves the Fablemans.
Look, I'm just ahead of the game.
It's not easy to be so far ahead.
I know. People they'll figure it out and they'll be like, we fucked up. We should have been more serious, you know? Yeah. Julia Butters. How could I forget?
She also knew that Seth Rogen was cucking their family, but she didn't, you know, become a generational director about it. She just had to live with it.
Well, let's get back to Anne's writing stint on Big. I think this movie does a great job of capturing what it's like to be a kid. Like, and to speak more to that, I think Tom Hanks, like, I mean, it's easy to see why this is the movie that really catapulted him into superstardom. He got an Oscar nod for it. He didn't win, but he got an Oscar nod for it. And I think he really captures those, like, kid
he's got such moments. A good, like, physicality. Like, he's not only, you know, so charming and so cute, but, like, he does put his whole body into being, like, a kid.
Yeah, like when he's running around or really, I think his best moments are when the quiet moments where he's like kind of embarrassed or scared. Yeah. Like those are the moments that really shine.
I liked any time he was like running.
He's like all limbs.
This movie, it's weird to say it's like kids movie because it's a weird.
There's a lot going on.
I think they were discovering something while they made this movie. I think they were discovering Tom Hanks, and I think this movie could have been three different ways. And it's a weird. It's a movie now, like watching it, because I've seen it 100 times, but I don't think I've watched it in full, probably ever. Like, I mean, maybe I have, but like, it's probably I had it taped off of a TV when I was a kid. I had it like, watched on TV.
What I would give to watch that taped off the TV version you had with the ads and everything.
Like I know what the ad breaks were. Like it's right when like the when he's like punches himself. Went to cut the commercial right there, you know, like, and so the thing is like, I don't remember there being him, like Billy, who I think is one of the best actors I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, he's great, he's like, that kid.
He says like fuck in it, and I was like, oh shit, I don't remember this.
He gets an F-bomb and asshole, like they're, it's great, and he delivers both of them. Who the fuck do you think you are?
Hey!
Yeah, it's straight up holy Jesus in the of
holy
the,
cheese.
Yeah, holy cheese, yeah.
From Back to the Future.
Yeah, Back to the Future 2. And so now watching it, it's like there's definitely like little, I think the first act is interesting and weird, and I have this feeling that they discovered, oh, we have a diamond with Tom Hanks. Let's make this move like we're let's shift the tone of this movie to him, I feel like. Or like more, cuz I have this feeling like there's a scene with the mom in like, and maybe this is an extended version when she talks to Billy through the windows.
No, that was in the standard.
She almost says like no dialogue. And then it's almost like there's like a ADR line. And I'm like, I think they like cut anything with the mom out because it would make it too sad. Like they did.
Yeah.
And you can feel it a little bit now when I'm watching it like older. I'm like, I think they just like, and so, and I also think this movie only works if it is in this It's a Wonderful Life, Twilight Zone kind of thing. If you think about it too much, it's fucked up and it's weird.
It's awful. So it's in many ways despicable even.
So I think, but if you
don't. But just don't think about it. Come on. Be cool. Everybody be cool.
I think it's a be cool. I think it really is like a thing of like, it's not like, it's not that bad if you think, if it's in like this shut out, like. Don't think about
it. It's not that bad if you just be cool. Be cool about it, everybody.
I would say the same until the fucking end when she's hugging him. And she's like, what were you, like 15, 16? He's like, 13. And she goes like, oh.
She
and it's like,
explains it.
We're like, okay, put a lampshade on it. But yeah, now I'm fucking thinking about it. Okay.
I don't think anybody was. Isn't that crazy? I don't think anybody thought
13
until like recently.
Is like... I think I missed that because at the beginning I was like, oh, he's like 11, because I think there's parts of here. And again, I think it's Tom Hanks is a really great performance, a really good physicality. But there's times when he's acting 8 years old and it's like, really, a 13 year old is going to be spitting food out? I know I'm going to be the fucking school monitor or hall monitor that Michael called me the other day.
Hall monitor.
But like... Look, the romance
did,
of it
I
all.
I did call you a hall monitor.
The romance of it all fucking sucks. And when she, the whole like, ooh, he's a grown up. Like, no, he's not. He's just cute and nice and said you're nice. Like, anyway.
I think it's related to like the people though she's been surrounded.
So. Yeah, it's like he's not a fucking square. That's awesome. I had a whole thing that I was thinking of because. Sure. I love childlike people, like people with a childlike sense of wonder. People who, for example, like many in this conversation, like,
hey Jackie,
like toys or comics or like, you know, nostalgic shit. I don't think that's a inherently like childish quality. But I've just dealt with too many childish men where it's like, I don't think it's cute. I don't really like, and especially if you don't look like Tom fucking Hanks with the biggest, wettest eyes, sparkliest eyes. And my other big thing with this is like, with all the sex stuff, I'll stop being a fucking hall monitor in a second, but
let it out.
As the one person here who was never a 13-year-old boy, like, I was a 13-year-old girl. I didn't want to be older because I had been already sexually harassed by adult men since the time I was, like, 11 years old. So I don't relate to a lot of the universal childlike stuff about this movie because of the gender of it all. And I know it's also, like... I, you know, it's not a nostalgic object for me. And I'm sure if I had that, I might feel differently. But that's my piece. I don't really want to be the 13-year-old who's fucking an adult. I just don't.
I was trying to kind of work figure out what this movie is saying in its head, in my head, or at least trying to make sense of it.
I think what it's saying is like, don't lose the childhood wonder as you get older.
Well,
you know?
Exactly. And that's, and again, there's a lot of this movie that works for me and is really well directed and really well acted. And then there'll be a moment where I'm just where he like, she's like, what are we? And he like starts throwing newspaper at her. And it's like, isn't that so cute? Like he's a manic pixie dream girl. It's not cute. If someone did that in real, I know it's a movie, but if someone acted like that, you'd be like, So what's wrong with you?
What if Tom Hanks in 1988 acted like that?
What if Tom Hanks in 1988...
And you had like a really awful boyfriend.
What if you had a really awful boyfriend and then Tom Hanks spit food out in front of you?
And the thing is, like, Tom Hanks' character in this, you gotta remember, he's not just like a crazy dude. Like, he's just, successful vice president of a toy company.
He's just so different. He's so quirky.
He's like, he's kind of like a... I could see her
he's
thinking
a manic
like...
He's pixie dream boy.
No, I could see her thinking that she's like some, that he's like some... odd artist type, you know, like
he's just like Steven Spielberg. He's like this little Peter Pan type. There's something so sexy about this Steven Spielberg type
guy.
You
might have just nailed it. You might have just nailed Ann Spielberg writing something about her.
Hey, there's your Fablemans.
About her man child brother.
It's like you can't help but fall in love with this this really childlike. But the scene where it's like they're in the limo, he's like flicking all the lights and shit. Like that's the stuff that reads to me as like, are you 5 years old or? And then she goes.
Have you been a 13-year-old in a limousine?
And then they go back to his stupid baby boy apartment, and she's like, I don't know. And he's like, you want to sleep over? And I'm like, you're... She's so horny for this.
I'll jump in here to just, like, defend Jackie a little bit. No, I do think that there's a weird thing going on with the movie where, like, he's 13, but I think... The way that Tom Hanks plays it, a lot of times it's like much younger than 13. Like it feels like he's like 8 or something.
And
you know?
I get that that's the point of like, you're a teen, you're a tween, you're not a kid anymore, but you're certainly not an adult. And it is a weird time where you're both like trying to stop being into babyish things, but like, you know,
I was surprised when he said he was 13. I thought he was supposed to be younger
like
than
10
that.
Or 11. Like it was not reading as 13
they
to
almost
me.
Like shouldn't even say the age because he just should be just kid.
Yeah. Like tween. Yeah,
I agree.
You're like, oh, puberty is soon. You're looking at you notice the cute older girls, but they obviously still see you as like a baby.
Well, he's at that age where it's like he's starting to be attracted to feel attraction, but he doesn't know what to do. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
he's still wearing dungarees.
He's still wearing baby boy Spider-Man underwear. Like,
but this is also thing. Like, you're still with your mom. Like, it's like he's that. Yeah, it's like a, it's weird stuff. But
it's also part of it is like, what was 13 like in 1988?
That's true,
you know,
too.
Maybe a 13-year-old in 88 was a little younger than a 13-year-old nowadays.
I think if you get in the, this is what I was saying, if you get in the details with this, it stuff falls apart.
No, I'm with you 100%, Ryan.
I think that's all it is. I think, and especially watching it now, like any details, it's like you, it's not necessarily, it's
a house of cards, and I'm not,
it's a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale.
It's fantasy.
It's fantasy. I'm not saying it's not, you know, well done, well directed, well performed. Like, again, like Tom Hanks is so fucking cute and charming.
A revelation, I would say.
And but again, my brain refuses to chill about it, so I can't kill ACAB, including the hall monitor in your head. Woo, sorry.
Oh, it's the cops! Cops, guys.
I'm. It's me, the cops.
It's funny to have that because I think I was thinking that too this whole time, where I'm like, if you're thinking about, like, I'm thinking about like what's going on with this mom and the stuff with like Billy, and then like
the thing that's funny about the mom is like, from the, like, 100% the mom thinks that her son is kidnapped by a pedophile.
He's being held hostage.
He's like holding him hostage.
Like,
that's 100%
horrific
how they're playing it.
And there is more, you know, honestly, I need to go back and rewatch it, but there are, all of this stuff is in the extended version. And get this.
What do they do?
The extended version is almost 25 minutes longer.
And it's is it mostly his mom, like, losing her mind?
Yeah, Dave, you saw the extended version after we watched this. What's different?
Well, I've seen it before. So right after he leaves, like, so there's that scene when Billy is, he you know, he runs into, just a brief synopsis of the movie. I feel like everyone knows
Tom
about
Hanks
it.
Tom Hanks gets big.
Yeah, but Tom Hanks is a, or
it's what happened
Tom
to
Hanks
Ryan,
yet.
Except
Josh Baskin goes to a carnival with his folks. He sees a girl he likes. He wants to try to impress her by riding the scary Super Loops roller coaster at a carnival, but he's not allowed on the ride because he's too short. So he notices this as, and we'll get more into these little, these are the kind of the details that I wanted to talk about. As his parents just let him walk off alone in sadness, he notices this Zoltar machine with this bobbing head, and it's evil looking.
It's evil.
Or no, it's not
looking.
Bobbing yet. He has to put the quarter in, and then it goes.
The Zoltar machine, legally distinct from the existing Zoltan machine.
Yes.
Important.
He puts a quarter in, he makes a wish to be big, and wouldn't you know it, the next morning, he wakes up and he's Tom Hanks. And he has to run out of the house because, obviously, you know, his mom's not going to realize what's happening. And he goes to New York for some reason. His friend Billy's like, I know what you should do. Hide out in New
Hide
York.
Hide out in the city Gary. For...
80s New
just
York.
Across the river, you know?
Yeah, I think they live in, like, Long Island or Queens
or like
or something.
Brooklyn or something. Yeah, they're in one of the outer boroughs, so, like, yeah, we're going to go hide out in the city. You are, at least.
Hide out in the city. We'll make a claim with Consumer Affairs. We'll try to find this Zoltar machine so we can get you turned back into a kid. But in the meantime, you have to be an adult, a 30-year-old Tom Hanks in New York. He gets a job with the toy company. He develops a relationship
with
one of the executives.
He keeps failing upward.
Susan. He fails upward.
I'm thinking more, like, keep going. I'll talk about this.
But anyway, at a certain point, he realizes, like, I'm not ready for this. I'm still a kid.
He begins a sexual relationship with an adult woman.
I'm not ready for a sexual relationship with this executive. It's too much. I just want to roll around in Leafs during fall. That's all I want to do.
I did look so
stickball
autumnal
with my friend Billy, and he, so, you know, anyway, he turns back into a kid. His brief girlfriend Susan has to reckon with the fact that she had sex with technically a 13-year-old. she drives off into an uncertain future. to deal with that.
Once again, I mean, I'm not to belabor the point, but when she's like, you really are like 13, he's like, yeah. And she was like, well, that explains it. So it's like, so what? You've been having bad sex with them? Great.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like, right after they have, you don't see it, but after they have sex, it cuts to Tom Hanks walking out of the elevator like, ba-da-da-da-da-da.
Which I'm sure the liaison was like, she brushes a hand slightly over his pants and he comes. And she's like, oh. Okay. Wow, I'm so flattered. That must mean I'm, like, super hot.
Well, meanwhile, the guys she's fucking dating are needing, like, to be, like, choked out and, like, and everything, probably, to, like, come, basic.
Sorry, oh, get probably. Into, you know? I mean, look, you're not wrong.
We'll get into those type of details.
Well, this was
later.
A good episode, guys.
I'm sorry that you can't talk about Big and not talk about the weird sex stuff.
Well, I think
we'll get into that, but I wanted to address what you said earlier. The extended version of this movie does have a lot more with the supporting characters. It has more with the mom. Like we see the whole scene when Billy goes to get some of Josh's like clothes or something. Or no, he steals some of his dad's clothes and he's slowly, coyly trying to walk away from like the scene outside of Josh's parents' house. You see the whole scene where the mom is explaining to the cops what happened and they're like, this makes no sense. What is she talking about?
At it and there's even, because it does feel like, and this is how I feel now watching it, is like, because it's not, I didn't feel this as a kid, that whole first act, like, we barely even see like the little sister. We barely see the dad, and I'm looking right now and there's a whole scene with like the crib and the dad. There's a whole thing with Billy's family and how that's really different.
Yeah.
There's like a looks like his parents are and brothers and sisters are assholes, so there's a whole dynamic with that.
Which is why the movie explains it basically why he's able to sneak off.
Sure.
Because his parents don't give a shit, basically.
Yeah, it looks like he has like a bunch of siblings and a whole big family and he's like cooking dinner for the family and shit. Like it's like a whole thing. And so I'm like, kind of like, part of me is like, they streamlined it and they realized that. They were like, we need to get to Tom quick because it's going to make this movie complicated. And I think that they were like, let's try to simplify it because it's going to make it fucked up and weird.
And because that one moment that remains in the movie of Billy, like, hears his shared walkie-talkie with Josh go off, and then he like looks across the way and he sees Josh's mom in the room like sadly, and it's like, oh my god, I'm going to burst into tears because I get with this moment of playing straight, like, this woman thinks that her son has been like kidnapped by a crazy pedophile.
Well, and especially when he calls, he's like, well, I need to call her to let her know
I'm
okay.
He writes is like so fucking, like, it's played for comedy in that moment because we're with, you know, Tom Hanks in the city and he's like,
oh my god,
bleep, bleep, bleep. But it's like that poor woman in Brooklyn or whatever.
What the mom is thinking when she reads the line, it's a lot like camp. And she's like, oh my god.
She's probably like just sobbing in her living room with like the baby crying and like. Because again, if you spend too much time on that, you're like, I can't laugh at Tom Hanks and, you know, jaunting around the city with his candy and his toys.
Yeah, his mom is going through it during this 6 weeks.
There's even, and I did laugh when it happened, but it's like the moment with Susan and her square boyfriend in like their apartment or something, and they're having breakfast, and there's a milk carton with Josh's face on it.
I know, right?
Like, that did make me chuckle, but it is also still fucked up.
Well, there's also, again, this is when you get into the details, this movie. Well, because it's a 6 week turnaround. Because I was thinking, watching this, you know,
how many months have passed?
You watch a movie a million times. There's a lot of things you start to think about because, you know, you've seen the movie, you know what it is. So you start to look in specific things. It got me wondering, like, how did he get the job in the first place? What type of shady hiring practices is going on in McMillan Toys?
Sort of, they kind of yada yada. Basically,
it's yada yada.
No, in the middle of the interview, they get interrupted. Remember, and then I think the guy's like,
oh, here's a job.
Like he kind of forgets. And part of me is like, is this going for like this sort of like satire, like failing your way up kind of thing? Because it kind of feels that way. It's almost like a sketch of like here's a. Like there's a lot of funny throwaway lines I probably didn't catch, like really Simpsons-y jokes throughout this movie. And like there's like things where like
it's Gracie Films.
Like Billy says, like since he's vice president, she's like, do you get to take president when they die? Like he like asks that. And he's like, no, there's like 18 guys that will be president before me or whatever it is, but he's vice president somehow.
Yeah.
And so there's like funny things like that I never caught when I was like young.
Well, I guess also to be fair, like I get the sense that we don't really care. We just need a body in this role of data entry. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like
sit next to this asshole Lovitz.
Oh god.
And he's like, you gotta slow down. You're making us feel bad because you're typing fast over there, you know?
Come on, man. We're doing 10 words a minute, okay?
Dinky Link. 7.
Jimmy's toy box.
Psst. Squee Hermy.
Psst. Hey. I'm Scott Brennan.
I'm Josh Baskin.
Huh. Listen, what are you trying to do? Get us all fired?
Huh?
You gotta slow down. Pace yourself. Slowly, slowly, slow.
Sorry. Today's my first day.
I know.
And also, just them saying, like, I'm in computers is funny, I think. Like, I work in
computers. Well, this is that time when you could just say, yeah. I have 4 years' experience in computers.
And they're like, oh, wow, you know, gotta use a computer? And
so, wow, there, go ahead.
So,
well, and that, and if I recall, that's another bit in the extended version. I feel like you're right, Brian. The extended version gets into those details more because when they're looking at the job offering, this is when Josh, as an 8-year-old, not a 13-year-old, goes with his cherry.
I love that.
They see the ad in the classifieds and he's looking at it. And Billy's like, you actually know this stuff? It's like, yeah. I mean, you know, they're using the old system from like 3 years ago, but yeah, you know. So they get into more of those details.
Look, they set it up. He's playing fucking text adventure games and like, I was always like,
computers. He can do computers.
So, yeah, I was always like, what is that thing? He has a computer in his room. If you had a computer in your room, you were Ferris Bueller. You can do whatever you want.
You can create. Well, yeah, when they're finally doing the toy presentation where it's like, you can come up with any option. Yeah, yeah, it's a simple formula. Yeah, it's fine.
So,
don't worry, it's computers.
It's kind of funny. I think just in general, that is funny in the movie. If him getting coming,
and, you know,
I didn't
honestly
think it was growing up, but now I think.
Honestly, I am kind of a sucker. As unrealistic as it is, it's a total movie thing. I'm a big sucker for, you got something, kid. You know what I mean? When a boss at a place sees someone do something crazy. And it's like, I'm promoting you to vice president.
I mean, it's a manic pixie dream boy for the CEO too, where he's just like, yeah, everyone here is so boring, but you
he actually plays with the toys.
You're so full of life, young man.
He knows about. He's like, they asked him. He's like, what do you think about that? Like the hockey. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good, but you know, they.
But you can't do this anymore.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. He's like, they just turned.
What's fun, like, about this? Like, so it's clear because we briefly see Robert Loggia as Mr. McMillan earlier when.
Who's
Josh
really good,
is
I think, too.
Flailing with his arms running down
but
to
he
the
drops
fax machine.
All his papers.
He's like, oh, this guy's got hustle. But there's two things going on here. It's Robert Loggia realizes that he's surrounded by yes men. Like, they don't, you know what I mean? And also, he needs that kid spirit because they're making toys. I need someone that has a kid spirit. I don't need someone who's making transforming buildings.
But the robot turned into a bug.
What a bug. I do, yeah, and I do like from that point on where it's like every like silly thing that Tom Hanks does, Loggia's just like, this guy, oh, he's great.
No, this is why I think the movie it doesn't do a good job of saying this to, like, I think it does turn fantasy, especially when he finally, what's her name? Elizabeth Perkins is like, oof. And she comes in that black dress, you know, and then, but anyway, later when he's becoming like a suit, like Tom Hanks a little bit, it reminds me of like Muppets Take Manhattan when like Kermit like gets like wrapped up in like marketing and they're like, Kermit, come on. And he's like,
you say that every episode, right?
Yeah, I know.
Everything's Muppets Take Manhattan for you.
Clean, you know, that, whatever that is.
Yes, when he loses his memory.
Yeah. And I'm just saying, like, they, it's sort of that becomes funny and satire-y, I think. And it is like Simpsons-y jokes. Like, you cut from this like goofy guy gets a, you know, has sex and all of a sudden he's like wearing suits and stuff like that.
He's
and
like, I'm a grown up now.
He's tearing down the don't enter sign.
He wrote in crayon again, 8-year old moment.
They're at dinner and they're talking about like a documentary on Christopher Columbus and stuff. And it's like, that's funny. Like, that's like a very, so that's just why I'm like, this is. And maybe it's too walks the line, too realistic. But like, and part of me is like, that's very like comedy kind of stuff. And I think it maybe, I think they were finding this movie. I think it might have been a more. I mean, curious about this extended cut I've never seen before. But
it's not bad. It definitely. I don't think it takes anything away. And I just knowing that it exists, watching this movie in the theatrical cut, because it's been a while since I've watched Big. I definitely got the sense that like. This movie has a lot of fade outs where it fades to black and it fades back up. And you're like, are these like commercial breaks? What is this? No, it's because I think you're right, Ryan. They realized they had something with Tom Hanks and they had to sort of re-tinker with the movie a bit.
I think so.
In the edit. Because you're watching this, and every time it fades, you can feel like there are times when I'm like, there was something missing in here, wasn't there? Like, you get the sense that their stuff was trimmed out.
Yeah. And it's so, I mean, according to the Chattopedia, it's so interesting because they came to Tom Hanks, like, certainly not first. And it's just like a long, long list of, like, they wanted it to
Who
be.
They originally wanted.
Well, because Spielberg, Steven, that is, not Ann, was like, oh, maybe I would direct. Maybe it could be Harrison Ford, which, like, can you fucking imagine?
Did you see Robert De Niro was cast?
Was cast.
Yeah.
My favorite bit of. trivia was John Travolta wanted to play Josh, but the studio wasn't interested in casting him. Just get a little stray in there to John Travolta.
I can see Travolta, maybe, yeah.
No, Susan, it's okay. I see. I made a wish on the Soul Tom machine.
I saw.
Don't play it like that.
I did see of all the people who were like offered or maybe involved, the one that I think is probably would have been the best. I mean, Tom Hanks is clearly better than probably anyone they talked about. But one that I'm like, oh, that would be fun is Albert Brooks was offered the role.
That could have been
something. But he didn't want to do it. But I bet a version of this with Albert Brooks would be kind of funny.
I can imagine a Last Action Hero-esque scene when you're walking through a video store and instead of Tom Hanks's face on the poster, it's Robert De Niro's face.
Yeah, Robert,
what
imagine
are you talking
De
about?
Niro.
He's great. That's his greatest performance yet.
It would have been such a different movie to
Oh, yeah.
Robert
I feel like it
would have
been
Niro.
Scarier.
Oh, God, yeah.
Actually, even, like,
I'm 13 years old.
I'm 13, yeah. He would immediately start to, like, somehow, like, I have blackmail against you now. Like, I can ruin
your
life.
Robert De Niro running down the halls, flailing his limbs.
I'm sorry, I can't. He's a great actor, but.
I imagine him in the beginning, like, trying to put on the pants that are for the kid, you know, and he can't fit into them.
Well, I was about to cite Midnight Run. Like, there, he did delve into more comedic roles in this sort of time, but he was still nevertheless in Midnight Run like this hard-boiled cop figure esque guy.
Yeah, when he did comedy, like my favorite comedic role that he did that I've seen in Meet the Parents, which is like Meet the Parents, by the way, that first movie is like so good. I think
but
that movie's
still
underrated.
Like a serious character though.
Yeah, but he's playing like a serious character.
But that was like his second win thing because he was still in this like Midnight Run's like a kind of was a big turn for him, I think, really.
Yeah.
It is, you're right. He is still serious in that. But that would have been fun and against type stuff, I think.
I mean, yeah, not to say that it could have been a very interesting performance, but you truly can't picture anyone besides Cutie Pie Tom Hanks. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, he's like, there's a moment where the kid, the young Josh, which is kind of crazy that he is still Josh Baskin's older, too. And, like, no one, like, is like, oh, you're the same age. The same
yeah, he didn't
that
try
kid
to
that went missing
fudge the
Jersey.
Name at all. It's like,
well, that gets into what I mentioned. Like his social security number obviously doesn't exist. It's not real.
Yeah, the phone they made up. So it's like,
and
they say the 6 weeks turnaround to find the Zoltar machine. So within 6 weeks, could you assume that if another couple of weeks had gone by, a memo would have been sent? Like, hey, this social, like, what's going on here? We did
like
some
cops
digging and this guy
showed up
doesn't
at
exist.
The place. Like, you don't exist.
So,
yes.
I was actually, part of me was expecting with the, you know, antagonist executive guy that he would eventually be like, because there's a moment where he's like, I'm asking around. They haven't heard of him at, like, you know, this it's like he doesn't exist. And I was almost expecting him to be like, actually, yeah, my buddy's a private detective and you really don't exist. And I'm sure that exists in the, like, Disney Channel or whatever ripoff, but,
What about 13 going on 30?
13 going on 30.
Did she have sex with Mark Ruffalo in that?
No, but they have a lot. It's very much like, because he's engaged, his character is. So
they don't have sex in this movie, do they? In Big? I don't
think
they actually
do.
Yes,
I think they
do.
She he touches her boob.
He touches her boob. She's halfway to undressed. And then the next day he walks into work like all big dick swinging. Like
she was turning the lights off.
And he turned them on.
There's only one thing that's going to happen after that.
All right.
13 going on 30 is a lot more toned down of, yeah.
Well,
like
that's
she,
time travel too.
That
isn't
one's
it?
A, yeah, a bit of time travel or something.
Oh, that one's time travel. Okay.
Because at the end of 13 going on 30, when it seems like all is lost, she, like, her wish reverses and she's back as a 13-year-old.
But
and then,
what if I told you about a movie called 14 Going on 30?
I saw that in the Chatopedia
which,
as well.
So there was a million of these movies that came out in 1988. And one of them, 14 Going on 30, may be the most disgusting sounding of them all. So the plot of 14 Going on 30 is, which is a Disney movie, a 14-year-old boy is infatuated with his teacher, Miss Peggy, and he uses a growth accelerator to make himself appear older.
He takes the substance.
So he can, quote from the Chatopedia, seduce her.
Why did you watch this one?
So that's the whole plot of the movie, is that he's trying to...
I need to fuck my teacher.
It's all based around him trying to have sex with an adult woman. And one of the actors in it is Alan Thicke.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
And this was a Disney movie.
Yeah. Yeah, 13 going on 30
is... It's an 80s Disney movie.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah, good point.
It's a lot sweeter.
It was a made-for-TV movie.
It was a pre-DCOM, you know?
A pre-DCOM DCOM, yeah.
This is like an ABC.
But yeah, there's a whole thing in the Chatopedia about all the films, this being like a deep impact Armageddon situation. Between 1987 and 1988, there were Like Father, Like Son, 18 Again, Vice Versa, and 14 Going on 30, which are all kind of the same thing. Mm. And did you guys see that Big is like actually low-key a remake of an Italian movie that came out the year before?
Really? No.
It's called, which is really
Grande.
Funny. I don't speak Italian, but it's called De Grande. But it's the same. It's basically the same plot.
Oh,
it's
what like, if you were big?
It's like a kid who becomes big.
Wow.
Interesting. Okay.
Wow.
I think we should watch De Grande.
Maybe
at some
we
point.
Should.
De Grande.
Da Big.
Da Big.
That's a funny poster for De Grande.
Yeah, it is. It's just like an adult man on like a rocking chair.
Mm. Well, speaking of posters, Big is one of those weirdly iconic yet very simple posters.
He's making that face.
He's just making this
he's
face.
He's like, aren't I cute? Aren't I a stinker?
It's such a simple poster, but it somehow works for this.
I mean, when you're a movie star, that's what you can do.
Would the poster just be like a tiny kid and then like, you know, the poster, like it's Tom Hanks is like, it like him growing into Tom Hanks. Like, what would it have been?
The
you know
Animorph
I mean?
Style.
You would do like a lesser movie, I feel like, would do the kid and him, and they'd be, like, looking at each other, like, what?
Yeah, or yeah, the kid in the big suit at the end.
The tagline is just a wonderful new comedy.
Oh, what? Okay, what if it's, like, the kid and Tom Hanks, they're looking at each other, like, what? And then in the background, like, Big looming over it is the Zoltar machine.
And New York City.
Yeah, that's real dumb.
And then in the corner, there's Susan going like, these boys.
That's like
and
the,
then there's
the
Billy
bad,
in the other corner.
The
well,
Drew Struzan.
Well, you can do the like the Vice Versa poster, which is Judge Reinhold surfing like, whoa, you know, I mean, I'm an adult and I'm acting goofy. Like, it's just his face, and that's all you need.
Well, yeah, it is a good.
TV at this point, I guess, right? Oh, Splash was before that, too.
That was a hit. Yeah,
Splash was really huge.
Splash was a hit. I, for some reason, I thought that movie didn't do well.
Well, that's why name Madison for Girls exists today.
I guess he was already a star, so they're just like, "Here's Tom Hanks. He's in a movie called Big." Because like,
I think it definitely this movie catapulted him to Tom Hanks level star. You know,
he's only when this comes out, he's only a few years away from winning back to back Oscars.
So he's doing okay. He's doing all right.
Because he was on the show, what is it, Bosom Buddies and stuff?
Yeah. Bosom Buddies, yep.
I mean, that's like how we got his name, right? He was a TV guy.
He was Turner and Hooch.
Like, he had already hosted SNL before this movie. So,
before this movie? Okay.
Yeah, they let TV people host that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he had already, I mean, he looks like he first hosted in 85. So.
Okay.
So he was already, you're right that he, I think he basically catapulted, but he wasn't like a discovery, I would say. But maybe as like.
It was like, hey, like it's that Tom Hanks guy you like, instead of like, it's Tom Hanks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like he had been in Bachelor Party. He had been in The Money Pit. He had been in he had done Dragnet. The Dragnet movie was before
this. Oh,
that's
right.
Like
yeah.
Splash was huge. So it's kind of like one of those things. Like I think like and that's a similar kind of like this almost
fantasy,
seems like
a
sequel to Splash. It's like there's another weird like high concept premise of like you know
Tom Hanks in the city. Isn't
it's
that
like
wacky?
Very like Will Ferrell esque kind of
Yeah, I think this kind of this era he's like going up one more notch, but I think though it's when he gets to 93 and 94 and that's when it's Sleepless in Seattle, Philadelphia, Forrest Gump, Apollo 13 all like and Toy Story like all boom boom boom.
Yeah.
That Thing You Do, Saving Private Ryan, that run between like A League of Their Own and You've Got Mail really is like pretty gnarly.
I mean, you can go back. I think it's that whole run, I would say from like the mid 80s to the mid 90s, like it's like a 10-year run. But yeah, it's pretty incredible. I mean, that damn, like, the piano scene is going to be in is every movie montage.
Yeah.
And it's kind of incredible. Mm. It's one of those things, like, it's magic. I don't know
it's
what it is.
So
like,
charming.
What did you guys think, like, seeing that for the first time? Because it's like one of those things. It's like,
that was that, like, literally, Jackie looked over while we're watching it and was like, okay, this is charming.
It was very cute. It was because, yeah, that got you. I've seen that, you know, bit in the movie montages or like referenced in things, but it's like seeing the real thing, like it's very cute and it's so like, you know, it's done so well. I saw, you know, like the fun fact of like that, you know, they had some doubles on set if they couldn't do like the choreography, but Tom Hanks was like, no, and we were determined to do it without the doubles, and they did, and it's like, yeah, that's really cute, and it works.
You can even tell, like, when they hit, like, the sound design even puts, like, the wrong notes in when
like
overshot shooting stuff. I think it's kind of amazing.
Chopsticks.
Works that it's like this is, you know, if you saw that happening organically, I mean, now if you did, it would be like, oh, you're referencing the movie Big, but like it would make sense that like all the people are gathering around to watch these guys do, you know, it's really, when
like
they switch to chopsticks is even cuter because they're like, yeah, let's do another one.
Do you think the was it like a because there did you see it coming because when they're walking around the toy store, or was it like a surprise when he steps on that thing? I was just curious, like
I knew it was like coming. I knew it was coming, but it does, I think, work for the surprise of like, whoa, oh, what's this?
Yeah,
I was like, oh, they're doing the piano
thing.
That
clip
now.
I've seen in like every like VH1, like I Love the 80s.
Yeah.
I feel like every, I don't know. I've seen that clip a million times in different contexts and stuff. So I definitely like was waiting for it.
And I think Robert Loggia does such a good job in this scene. And honestly,
he's got good energy.
I get why he promotes him to vice president of product development with this scene.
He's like, I've never felt so young.
Well, I like this whole FAO short scene is so great because he sees Robert Loggia like encounters him playing with this other kid, laser tag or something.
What's your name?
And he assumes like, well, you here playing with your kids or something?
He's like, no.
And he's like, no. And you know what? Honestly, this scene begins for me watching this movie as if I were watching Sixth Sense for the second time, because now I'm watching Big from the perspective of everyone who's not Tom Hanks, how they are encountering him. Because like he stands up, Tom Hanks, he takes the laser tag thing off and he's like, I'm just looking around. You know what I mean? And he's like, ah, oh, yeah. So he assumes he's there. He's like, you're scouting like business purposes or something. He's like, yeah, I come here every day. You don't see stuff like this on a business report. And he walks around. And again, Loggia plays this so perfectly when they accidentally step on the thing And Tom Hanks immediately becomes enamored with it. And he does that thing where he slides down all the keys. And Robert Loggia has this great response. He's kind of like, okay, let's get over here. And that's when the childlike wonder captures him, and they start doing the chopsticks thing. And
yeah, he manic pixie dream girls like he wants.
He manic pixie dream girls.
He's like, that's so.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to keep calling this manic pixie dream girl because he's a 13-year-old. He's a kid.
Well, that's the heart of the criticism of the manic pixie dream girl trope. Isn't this woman so quirky? Or is it actually just the behavior of a 13-year-old, but in a fuckable, you know, body? Is she born sexy yesterday? It's so cute how this grown woman who's so fuckable like thinks like a baby.
I love how we've equated Tom Hanks to like a manic pixie dream boy with a fuckable body.
Everyone wants to fuck him. I'm sorry, like the guy at work who hates him, the old man, Susan. They all want to fuck him.
This is rejected poster slogans.
Everyone wants to fuck him. Big.
Everyone wants to fuck
and people
Tom
come
Hanks.
In, they're like,
and just
oh,
shows his face smiling.
Big, it must
same,
be.
The same picture of him smiling.
But that's, I mean, that was, I remember in the late 2000s, early 10s, like, you know, cracked.com or College Humor of like the manic pixie dream girl. And then the punchline is like, oh, actually, she's just like, mentally handicapped, and that's the like funny bit, but it is also like the like, isn't this so like this woman who I will have sex with thinks like a little baby. And maybe that's something we could think deeply about in our patriarchal society, but
yeah. I was thinking about like her attraction to him, if I was trying to make sense of it, I suppose. And I think it's like, I think they were just trying to say, the movie at least, is like, what if you're open about your emotions and things, and just like, that's sort of the idea. I guess it is childlike, I suppose, but I think that's maybe what it's trying to say. Maybe if
I guess, but again, that's where it comes in as like a little bit uneven for the age of it all, where it's like, I think a 13-year-old is not very open about their emotions. I think at that point they've learned how to be really cagey about stuff. It's not that they don't feel it very deeply, but it's like, does a 13-year-old boy have the emotional capacity to just tell a girl that he likes her? Not always. Like,
well, he doesn't.
And he doesn't. Movie, like, and she says, what
like,
are
like,
we?
She kisses
and
him
he's like
for
giggling.
The first time. She kisses him for the first time after he gets into the fight with Paul at the.
Yeah, that's a sex scene too, when they fight at the racquetball.
Oh, that is. Yeah, because he wants to fuck him.
But she, like, kisses his hand or something. I can't remember.
She kisses him on the cheek.
And he just sort of smiles like...
So it's like...
And then she's sort of, like, left to be like, what's this guy's problem?
You know, like, yeah, children are a lot more open about, you know, such things because they haven't necessarily learned, like, oh, that's not, you know, grown-ups don't do that. Like, if you're mature, you don't do that. But it's like, is he 13 or is he 8? Because he's just like, you're really nice. You're the nicest girl ever. And she's like, oh, my God, I'm going to leave my boyfriend for you.
Well, she wants to leave.
Well, yeah, no,
Paul,
he's an excuse,
yeah, he
and
sucks.
But that's it. It's what he's a manic pixie dream boy, and everyone wants to fuck him, and that's fine because it's, you know, yeah, it's 1988 Tom Cruise. Of course, everyone wants to fuck him. Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks.
Gosh. I was waiting.
Get that man out of here.
Oh.
That would be a scary movie.
Well, see, yeah, like if because like you said, the fact that this is a fantasy, honestly, if this were real life, the moment she walks into his apartment
and it looks
and
like
sees
that.
All that shit spread out, she's leaving.
That's the thing. The bit where she's on the bottom bunk and she's just like, oh, he's definitely gonna have sex with me now, and then he hops up on the top bunk, where it's like, how is your conclusion at the end of that, not just like, okay, so this is not going to be a sexual thing. Like, that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. Well, it was crazy.
New York,
like,
Jets jersey. Ooh, baby. Ooh.
Oh, dude. Ooh. Elizabeth Perkins in this movie. Hot.
She's like, so gorgeous. I love her big fluffy hair. She's gorgeous. But yeah, like, I'm sorry. If I walked, even if I was so crazy horny, I'm sitting in a limo with this guy who can't stop touching the buttons, if I get to his apartment and it looks like that, I'm like, okay, so we're not on the same page.
I'm wondering
about
if
this.
Like this didn't. Maybe this is the first happened instance to Anne of this ever happening ever.
Spielberg.
Is the what's funny? You're about Anne Spielberg. It was known that Spielberg in the 80s, 70s, his places looked like this. I feel like.
Oh, really?
Like he had like pinball machines and like arcades.
What
does
the sexiest man's apartment look like? It's probably like full of games and toys, right?
This is probably the first instance of these type of people, maybe. And maybe someone, maybe like the corporate, like American Psycho-esque like person would.
We're
like,
tired of these yuppies.
Maybe, yeah, maybe they would be like, "Wow, I've never seen anything like." Now it's overplayed, but in like,
yeah, and especially when we see her apartment for the first time, it's so like, you know, yuppie 80s like, you know, but like the 80s version of that, which is like teal and like she's got these ugly like shutters over and it looks so 80s and ugly. And I know it's supposed to read as like, you know, a mature executive woman's apartment. But
after he has sex with her, he takes off the don't enter sign off the office. And you know, that poor secretary, fucking that 70s show mom is.
Oh, was it? I didn't even catch that.
She's getting it.
Can I?
I guarantee she was not charmed by his childish behavior, the woman who has to clean up after him at work.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, wow, a man who acts like a child? Great. I'm an executive secretary.
To get back to the initial scene when she sees his apartment, like, it had been a while since I've seen this. I forgot how horny she is for him in this movie.
She
is so horny for him, or she's just like, yeah, I mean, I can come in if you want. Like she pulls him out of that party, like, let's go fuck, basically. Like, she doesn't say that, but like, she's like, let's get in this limo, let's go to your place, let's have sex. But like, there's a shot. It's you mentioned it, Ryan. After they have their another iconic scene when they're jumping on the trampoline, and that kind of like she gets a little bit of that like kid energy, you know, blah blah blah. It cuts. He's walking out of the bathroom. He just brushed his teeth. He's in full pajamas, full kid pajamas, and you see her like in this Jets jersey, like looking super sexy. And I swear
to God,
I'm so
ready to get dick down on the bottom bunk of a twin bed.
She jumps up on the bed, and there's a moment where she's like, "What's going on?" And then he peeks his head down, and she's like, "Okay, now it's gonna happen." Like she literally makes a motion to like, "Okay, like I'm gonna take my underwear off. Let's do this." And like I had never caught that before, and I was like, "Damn, this movie is like really going into
what
that.
Are you doing, girl? What are you doing?"
I think it's played in a way that like it's one of those things like you don't get if you're not an adult, you know.
I think that's what it is, because I would say most of my viewings of this movie was when I was a kid. I hadn't seen it in a while before watching it on this viewing, and like I said, for a movie you've seen a million times, you start to look at other things in it, and you notice these things now as an adult, and you're like, whoa, I did not realize that it had been played up to that degree.
The one thing that was kind of funny I thought is I feel like I've only watched this like mostly in pan and scan, and I can never see what she touches that like he's like, no, don't touch. And it was like the windowsill and like the, you know.
Oh, really?
I could never see the damn model like in the shot. That she picked up like a plane thing. I always thought like, is she picking up the paint or what's going on? I can never understood what the hell he was yelling at her about, you know.
Interesting.
And
wow.
So I find that
those are my toys.
I finally saw it was a big old model. Model.
It was like a giant aircraft carrier or something.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty funny, but it was as a kid. But yeah, it's a weird movie. It has some weird turns and stuff. But I was really enjoying those throwaway lines and like under the like just things that like Lovett says and stuff like that. I was really loving watching it.
So how long have you worked here?
5 years. Work stinks, but the fringe benefits are great. See that girl over there in the red? Say hi to her and she's yours. She'll wrap her legs around you so tight you'll be begging for mercy.
Well, I'll stay away from her then.
But
and that is a great line.
Like,
I love how Tom Hanks, again, not knowing anything about sexuality, really, because he's too young. He's like, oh, well, I'll stay away from her then. And he just totally ignores her at the party, too. And he gives her a look like, I got to stay away from her.
I've heard about you.
I've heard about you. You're crazy.
I thought that all those kids, though, like, there's a scene where they're, you know, doing baseball cards and they see, like, their little crush and stuff. They all look real cool. Like, their costuming is awesome.
Oh, yeah. You're like, of course, you know, you're 13, I guess. And you
and
see
you
like a 15-year-old girl and you're like, oh my God, babes.
There's little seeds in here. It doesn't amount to anything, but like you get the sense that Billy, we haven't really talked too much about Billy, Josh's
MVP.
Friend, kid from T2.
That's not the same kid.
Oh, it's not the same kid.
Not all redheads are the same, Dave.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Not all ginger kids are the same.
You thinking well, that's Bud Kiss from Salute Your Shorts? Is that what you're thinking? Or Bud?
Oh, I mixed them up, right. Well, in any event, like you get the sense that Billy's character has, you know, girls equals cooties for Billy. Like I get that sense from Billy. But there's an interesting bit here when they're looking, they're sorting through the baseball cards and like the popular group comes up with the, I forget her name, the girl that Josh has a crush on.
Cynthia, I think.
Yes, yeah, Cynthia. And one of her friends.
Their side
sees,
pony.
Well, one of her friends spots Billy and there's a line where she's like, oh my God, it's Billy. So someone has a crush
what?
On Billy. It's never expanded upon.
Completely missed like, that.
Yeah, I never did either until this viewing. And I'm just like, that's kind of interesting, those little dynamics between the characters.
It's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, that kid, is it? Honey, I Shrunk the Kid. He's the one of the neighbors.
That's what it is. Yeah. Okay, right, okay.
No, that kid is so funny and so good. Like, this, his timing is so funny. And his
he plays like, he's got street smarts.
Well, and it's because in this extended version that we didn't see, like, he's basically like, the head of the family. Yeah. He's having to take care of things, and that's why he's like that. But do you guys, so as first time watchers not having watched the extended cut, does that matter for Billy's character? Did you have a question? Like, why is he so like independent?
No,
like this
not really. It's like, you know, some kids, even if they're just bluffing, it's like, you know, are the ones who are like, yeah, no, I'm an authority on stuff. Right. And I was also thinking about how like, Josh and his family, he's got the baby sister who seems to be, you know, later in life, miracle slash accident type of situation, which means he's been, you know, an only child for what, like 11 or 12 years. And that would definitely inform you differently than, your next door neighbor who's got a million siblings. So even if we're not seeing that, it's like, it makes sense. As someone who was the later in life miracle baby younger sibling to a 10 years plus older sibling, like if this movie was about like even like 16-year-old Josh, he would be, I think, like, you know, a lot more, duh, because you're 16, but like a lot less of a baby about things. Because yeah. It's like, yeah, you do have to look out for people who are not just yourself. And clearly, like, you know, Billy knows how to do that. And he knows how to go into the city really easily.
Dude, that scene
he's
they,
really
they
good
go
at
to St. James Motel. And he's just, you know, and he just like kind of like nonchalantly, he's like, oh, he realizes the danger. He's like, you know, you should use
the chain.
But he just walks out like calmly, like, eh, yeah, I'm good. I'll just go back to, you know, New Jersey, whatever.
He's just like, yeah, I got to catch the bus home. Bye.
Okay. I want to retract another little
I got to be home by 10.
Retract. You're talking about, you thought that this was Kid in T2. This kid, the actor's name is Jared Rushton. He's in Pet Sematary 2, and he's Edward Furlong's bully in that. And so there you go. They were in a movie together.
Okay.
I never seen Pet Sematary 2, but they were in together in that.
How about that?
So there you go. You had their wires crossed. He was in a movie with Edward Furlong.
I have seen Pet Sematary 2, but it's been a very long time.
And yet that little redhead. Stuff in your head.
I guess Edward Furlong always needs a redhead around, you know.
Can I, you know, while we're on this scene, a couple things I wanted to touch on, specifically the St. James Motel.
That's
why you were so afraid of.
It's religious.
I have said this before on the podcast, but this movie is one of the many reasons, one of the many contributing factors that made me afraid of New York City as a child.
It's scary.
Yeah, and did that to scare you.
It's scary. And like that scene when like the guy's yelling on the phone and like he pushes the dresser up. Yeah, no. You know, and just like, you know, he's like, oh god, he's like putting the pillow over his head. Like that was legitimately scary. There's like guns.
He like
going
starts
off
crying.
Outside.
Like he's a little boy. He's like, very scared.
He wants his mom. Like it's
he
scary.
Wants his mom and dad.
But like they do a good and which makes the payoff later even better when like, you know, as he's just grown used to it, he's like licking Oreos and throwing the cookie part away.
Oh, and then he's like he just turns the TV up, you know, that he's
yeah.
That's the city.
Which again seems like a Simpsons joke.
Yeah. So it's but a mix of tones. I really think they're trying to figure out the tone of this movie.
Yeah.
But there's that. But also there's something else. I stuck around during the credits. The owner or the guy who, I don't know if he's the owner, the guy who lets them in, you know, like $15 to the room, yeah. Like $10 deposit for the sheets. A little trivia time. You guys will never guess this. Do you know the name of the actor who
Ann
played
Spielberg.
That part?
No.
No.
Julia Butters.
I don't think you'll ever get this. Julia this Butters was a shock dead. Moment.
Who? Tell me.
The guy who played that character, his name, as credited, is Rockets Red Glare. That stood out to me watching the credits.
And the Rockets Red Glare.
Sorry for being a patriot.
But there's another funny thing here that caught my eye in the credits. Titles by Saul Bass.
Wow.
Which is like, huh?
Well,
really?
They do have that cool. I love the editing in that opening with the credits. And
how the credits like come by.
But it goes with the editing, too, of the shots and stuff too, like that beginning with the Howard Shore score kind of thing.
Oh yeah, Howard Shore. We didn't mention too. Howard music by Lord of the Rings own Howard Shore. The music is awesome in this movie. It's very, it's a very like not to denigrate anything about Howard Shore, but it does something that Howard Shore is very good at, which is being John Williams, and it's a very good John Williams score.
Oh, dude! Speaking of John Williams,
heartstrings.
Dude, at the last 10 minutes of this movie, the music, it reminds me a lot of the end of E.T., where it's just like 10 minutes of sustained music that'll make you cry.
That music is stuck with me, too. It's one of those things like I always forget until I see it. I'm like, this music is something that it's very, like, it feels like it's from something else. But it's fucking big. It's
really good. It's like it's one of those things like, man, Howard Shore, you didn't have to go that hard on a movie about a kid turning into Tom Hanks.
No, you're going to cry. You're gonna cry.
It gets me every time, and it conveniently lets me forget about the subtext of what's happening in that scene of what that character's going through. The Susan character, she realizes, oh god.
Did you see? Like, I saw there was a thing on like cracked.com, but it was like the fallout from the end of this movie. Like what would happen, and it's funny because it points out
she has to
go
back to work.
well, no, it's not like about her emotional fallout, but like, think about what happened in universe, right? Like the mom and the mom is like, okay, my son Josh has been kidnapped,
has been missing for 6 weeks,
and he
You're
made up
go
this
into
like
therapy now.
Instead of admitting about what happened to the kidnapping, he's made up this story about turning into an adult, and it's probably going to be noticed pretty quickly that Josh Tom Hanks has now vanished and was last seen being dropped off like at the house, so he's probably gonna be like the prime suspect, and she now has just like in broad daylight just dropped off the abuser like in the home, like she's gonna be connected with this clearly as like some, you know, and it's basically like this Tom Hanks character is going to be like a fugitive on the run, presumed, because he's just gonna be like this disappeared, you know, guy everyone's going to think is like a criminal.
They both left in the middle of the big meeting. So like, she's going to go back to the city. Everyone's going to be like, so where's Josh? Wait.
She's
going
to be like a presumed accomplice to like a child abduction.
This is one the case of, you didn't see anything.
You didn't this see is,
Oh, well,
I'll just say this.
Speaking
is
of didn't see anything, let's talk about someone who did see something. This never occurred to me. I wasn't listening close enough, but at the end, when Tom Hanks gets out of the car and Susan's just sort of thinking about what's going on in the situation, she looks up one last time. You hear heavy footfalls, And then as she's looking at him, the sound of the footfalls change, and it's Kid Josh in the clothes, which means
she watched it happen.
The transformation happened real time.
That's cool.
And that's the child. That's the child that you had sex with.
Yes. I never realized it, because if you're listening closely, the sound of his footfalls changes.
That's a nice editing.
Suggesting that he transformed real time.
That's cool.
Which is just like, how horrifying.
Should have added in like sound effects of like squishing and like body horror. Like,
and then we cut back to the kid and he turns around and he's just like, bye.
Yeah, it's like
that's what's so bizarre.
John Carpenter scene.
Like, Ryan, you were doing the hand wavy motion.
Well, no,
like,
I was
you
just
didn't
doing,
see anything.
Yeah, I was just like, it's another case of don't think about it too hard.
Well, it makes me wonder, like, is the suggestion, like, it was less of, like, a horrific American Werewolf in London type of transformation and more like a snap.
I think it's like
boom,
a fade.
A
kid,
it was
like a fiat.
Yeah.
I think it's a transformation that's done by, like chimes, you know? It's like, bee bee.
Yeah. No, I think he stepped behind a tree and then she saw him come out the other side. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. She blinked, and then he was
She took
different.
A long yes, blink, yeah. And then there he was, the child.
And there he was as a kid.
The child. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Ready to have your mind blown?
Do it.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
There was an alternate ending to this movie.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Where Josh is in class the next day, and there's a new student.
Stop
Susan.
It. Shut the fuck up.
Wait, no, Dave. I looked into
I
this
swear
and
God,
this is
happened.
This is
the
a
test
this is
nope.
The, like, I've looked
no.
into this, Dave. This is like a Mandela effect thing. This is not a thing that happened. That's a thing that a lot of people think, like, oh, I remember this alternate version that never.
Well, no, I read that this never made like the light of day. This was something that test audiences saw and were like, no, we don't want this.
That's
Penny
too
Marshall
horrific.
Has been interviewed and said, like, there was never a thing. This never existed. It's like not a
oh,
thing
really?
At all. What it is, that's how De Grande ends.
Oh!
That's the most horrific. It's like at that point, like you are. Susan, you are a pedophile because now you're pursuing the child.
He does say maybe you can come with me.
Yeah, and
she's
like,
just
no,
like, no,
because like why the fuck would you?
Yeah, she has a good line there. It's like, fuck no, that was hard enough the first time.
I did that
yeah.
already. I've been a teenager. Yeah. I'm an adult on purpose.
Forever changed, wow. Forever in therapy.
Yeah. Do you think she's ever gonna have a normal relationship ever again?
She's not just gonna be in therapy, you guys. Like, she's gonna have to, like, she's gonna be arrested as an accomplice to child abduction.
Her life's over.
This is why I'm like, I think maybe you just gotta say this is it's a Wonderful Life thing. It didn't quite happen. This is all just like alternate reality
yeah.
shit.
No, I'm with you, Ryan. Like, it's funny to like talk about this, wouldn't think of this as like a serious like thing about them. Like, I don't know. It's a fairy tale. Like, you're not. I think you get into like CinemaSins territory if you're
yeah,
like. Actually,
I,
you know what? If you really think about it,
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. But it's also like I will. You know, the millennial nostalgia. You know, poison machine rages on every day, and. You know, if you say like, oh, you know, I wasn't really into Goonies. It's like, we're going to kill you with a gun.
Well, I'm with you with that. Cause Goonies was one. I like Goonies, but it wasn't one I watched growing up. And I'm like, I think there's fun stuff, but it's, that movie is annoying. It just keeps
this
like
is,
going
this
like,
is way blah, better.
Blah, 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 blah.
You know what?
This is way better than Goonies.
Out of all the nostalgia, like, I understand why people don't like Goonies now, because like those kids are obnoxious as hell.
Yeah,
I get it.
And there's certain
don't
things.
Don't get me wrong.
If...
I still love that movie. I am Kool-Aided with that movie. I drank the Kool-Aid as a kid, but I also understand that they are annoying as hell.
But yeah, and
it's
certain things where, like, not to say that it can't stand on its own, but it's like some movies are for kids, and so it's best if you see them when you're a kid.
Yeah, that's a good point. But no, I think this is a better movie than Goonies. Like, I think
agree,
this movie.
I agree. Like,
yeah.
I think it is very well directed and well, you know, performed.
It's like to go back to the beginning of the episode, Dave. I think my 3.5 star is equivalent to your 4 star.
Wow.
Like, I think
like Daveflation.
Okay. Like, okay, like,
there is a Daveflation.
Oh. And to be real, I was playing it up. You can rate it whatever you want.
Well,
I don't care.
He's putting the gun down.
No, I think it's fair because I really do think watching it now that there is like a beat missing in the beginning before Josh turns, because it's really just the one thing, like, that he's big just because he can't get on the ride. Like,
yeah, like he got pitied by a girl for a minute.
Like,
and
there's
it was
not
kind of
like there's not another scene with the girl, like, where she's like into like denies him because of something, you know, like.
Yes. Could be something like driving, you know, like she's picked up by like her boyfriend who knows how to drive.
She does have the guy who drives.
And that's like the only moment, though. There's not, there almost needs to be one more thing.
Yeah, like something with a bully or something is like, get out of here, short, like, pipsqueak.
And I also think like he does seem like a small kid, but his face looks older. And I think it's because they did a good job like finding a Tom Hanks looking kid. But it looks like an older kid, at least movie wise to me. Like, he doesn't seem, he has kind of a deeper voice a little bit too. Like,
yeah,
there's something. And what's funny too is like a theme, like a little, especially a little like New Jersey side of the road amusement parks. Like, you're going to be able to get on that ride if you're
especially if you're like nine,
like the height thing is like literally like 4 feet. Like, is he smaller than 4 feet?
He was like an inch under like the sign, and it was like,
he's gonna be allowed on that.
This carny doesn't actually care about the ride safety.
But that is movie stuff. Like, not being able to get that's a big deal.
I think.
But that's really the only thing. It's not necessarily the girl like wanting him because he can't drive. It's weird. It's like there's almost like a beat, like maybe with the parents that are missing, and maybe that's a good part in the extended thing, but it is.
Well, we get a little bit of that embarrassment of like, you know, parent embarrassment.
Yeah.
And they had, like, oh no, I'm cool. I'm here by myself.
It's just all in the same scene though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
There's not like
you want it spread out a bit more.
Yeah. It's almost like it needs one, like it's like 5 minutes. It's like, that's all it needs. It's like that little thing. And I think it would help at least as for a kid that you don't really care. You want, but I think they just wanted to get to Tom faster, you know, and that's probably what happened. That whole thing, but just feeling big, like want to be, and also the words "want to be big" is strange. Instead of like "I want to be like taller or older,"
want to be big. And again,
that's
get
a young kid kind of.
It's around. It's an iconic title. We get it, but yeah, it's like, are you 13 or are you 7?
Yeah, so that's,
he would,
I would
really
say
I wish I was
down
a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl that looked good. I would call her.
Doesn't sound as good. Like, I wish I was a little bit taller.
So I think that's my big critique now as an adult watching it, and plus the weird sex shit. But like, that's like one of those things. Like,
I know it's a package deal.
Yeah. So,
you know what occurred to me as we were watching this? This is technically not the first time we've dealt with this type of storyline, Mike. Jackie, you might remember a little episode of Next Generation called Rascals.
Oh yeah,
where there's a situation where it's this movie is like the reverse Rascals though, because it's a kid who becomes an adult. Whereas in that, they were adults who became kids, and if you recall, there was a little awkwardness there with Keiko and Chief O'Brien,
because they are married, like, with a toddler, and so suddenly your wife is an 11-year-old girl.
Yes,
and they played that for like this. You know, O'Brien's like, you just sit 4 feet away over there, okay? Yes. Don't look at me too long, Jesus
Christ. That episode is more like reckoning with
this would be so horrific, and like her child doesn't recognize her. It's like they definitely play it for the
mommy.
Like, this would be terrible.
Yeah. Whereas in this one, it's like, oh God, I realize I just slept with someone who was actually technically a kid.
You said 15 or 16, right? 13. Oh. Oh no.
I think she drove her car off the bridge on the way.
Yeah, no, she doesn't. You don't have time to get investigated as an accomplice to the child kidnapping. She just immediately is like, well, I can't live with this.
Yeah, she killed herself. That's the ending you didn't see.
It's a lot
big.
Darker. I understand why they didn't go with that.
Yeah, it didn't test
it's a
very
bit
well.
Of a downer.
It's just the next shot after credits is just her like silently slumped over her car in a garage with the exhaust running.
Yeah, no, I guess it's probably good that they cut that. Yeah, ultimately.
No music, just like.
It's basically like the opening of Midsommar.
Yes.
It would be a different film.
Like, Paul goes into the house and finds her. Oh my God, Susan. Look, I didn't mean to dunk on your whole interactive comic book thing so hard, okay?
Yeah, he comes, he's like, hey, Susan, I've been thinking about it. I've been so immature about all this stuff at work, and you were right. And, oh, my God! he learned a lesson, but it was too late. And
then,
unfortunately,
then it becomes
dead.
Like a revenge tale. Like, this was all Baskin's fault.
I have to kill Baskin.
I gotta kill that kid.
He finds out it's a kid. He's like, I still need to kill you. I made a promise.
Son of a bitch, ruined my career, ruined my relationship.
Oh, yes, Ryan brings up a good point. Would you pay $19 for a comic book as a kid? You couldn't.
Well, wouldn't it be one of those, like, I'm saving up my allowance type of, or like,
wait, but
Christmas?
It's also, it's like a video game.
It's like a, yeah.
He's
like
basically, he's describing like an adventure video game.
Like, it's not a comic book
at
that point.
That's not fair. It's not a comic book. It's a video game.
But the guy says, we can market this on a comic book rack.
Yeah, it's a trans, you know,
robot.
Transmedia
also,
thing.
Wait, hold on. You're telling me the robot turns into a bug?
I just thought that scene, even as a kid, I loved it. Especially just him. He's so right. He's just like, who wants to play with a building?
It's a building.
And I do think that thing looks cool. I like that robot turning into a building. But him just saying that out loud is so funny to me. I don't know. It's so good. And then that guy just keeps saying, they're like, a bug, huh?
Bug.
Well, it really shines a light on how bad things are at Macmillan Toys, because it's suddenly one of the things Robert Loggia says, he's like so amazed, he's like, this is amazing, a bug can like move. It's like there's all sorts of possibilities.
We don't need to make only stationary train sets anymore.
I think it's just like I think that really just is what this movie's about, is like, just because the thing is like that place, the design, right, direction's great, that it looks, it doesn't look like a toy place.
Yeah.
And I think that's just really what the story's about. It's just like, what the fuck are we doing here? You know, like, have a little fun every day, you know, and like,
go to the toy store. Just look around.
Yeah. And just like, I don't know, try not to get old too fast, or like let your,
I don't think,
a mixture.
You know, to be fair, I don't think any of us need to worry about that. We might, need to, like, honestly, if we have anything to gain from this, maybe we should gain a little bit more from the fuddy-duddies in this movie.
Look, none of us are quite as, Peter Pan as world's sexiest brother, Steven Spielberg. So I think we're okay.
I think that's
the Rosetta Stone to this whole movie.
That must be why she has the things. Like, I need to make a fucking movie about my crazy brother.
I need to get this out.
Who I would love to fuck.
I did see, I don't know how true this is, but I did see in the Chattopedia that the script for this was done, the idea was over a brainstorming session that lasted an hour, and they said they wrote it over a couple days.
Wow.
So it was like super fast.
They're like, don't worry about the holes,
and like, to be fair, I feel like they were probably like, I want to see DeGrande. Because I'm wondering, like, how...
Oh, I'm sure they toned it down from whatever European insanity.
No, but I'm just
was...
saying, like, I didn't realize that this is, like, a low-key remake of a foreign film. And that would explain why it was able to be written so quickly.
Sure.
And then you're saying that there's all those other kind of copycats and things. They're probably all new. Like, we need to do something quick. And so, like, let's just...
Yeah.
We need... everyone's going to want to do something like this, you know?
Yeah.
And like I said, maybe the little toy, colorful toy store apartment, you know, as an adult, this might have been the root of this, or the first instance that caused
we gotta watch DeGrande. It's gotta go on the list.
I keep thinking you're about to say Degrassi.
Degrassi.
We have got to watch Degrassi every series.
I would like to. I don't know. I would that sounds more like a film versus.
Why? Just because it's foreign. I don't think that DeGrande is going to be like a highfalutin film.
Those European comedies are like bottom of the barrel trash.
I would
it's
say
great.
14 going on 30 is on YouTube. The whole.
Oh
thing.
God.
Oh, oh nice.
No, thanks. Well, I am curious for the LeGrande movie if he goes and works in a toy related.
It involves Lego.
Oh, it's Lego. Oh wow. Okay.
Okay.
Interesting. I do want to check it out. But any closing thoughts on Le Big?
Yeah, I mean, sorry to be the downer of it all, because I do, you know, enjoy a lot of things about this movie, but pretty impossible not to have it in my mind of like,
No, I don't think you're, it's all valid stuff. It's all just like, I think it's all, that's all there. But also I think there's a lot, it is, you hate to be like, shut your mind off and just eat your popcorn slop. But it's kind of that, whether this movie is, it's no weird.
Yeah. And I understand that.
It sucks that it is like that, but I think, and I even think parents at the time or older people watching it probably did the same thing. And I don't think anybody thought about this movie like this until like 10 years ago.
Yeah. It's literally, they're like, that's pretty fucked up, huh?
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Like, I think our generation did not think about it one bit, which is kind of, it's kind of scary in its own right, I think. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm on the side of like, who cares for this one? Like, I don't have it in me to be like,
I guess so.
This is a problem or
some
anything.
Some people have wars in their country, so.
I can't find the Grande on the Chatterbox.
It's De Grande, not La Grande.
I can't find it, yeah.
D-A-G-R-A-N-D-E.
De Grande. They're like, do you mean Ariana Grande? Oh,
it's just big in on there.
Oh.
I mean, De Grande, I think that's what it means, is big.
Wow, it is. Big. I can't believe it. What a ripoff. Hopefully someone got paid.
I know, this is why I want to see it, because I'm wondering like how much of a ripoff
is big from
this movie.
Someone sue the pants off of Ann Spielberg. She can afford it.
All the reviews are in Italian too, so I don't think this movie's available anywhere. We'll have to find out. But no, I agree. This movie works in a lot of places, and I think the first act, as watching as an adult, is a little bit rushed, but it is, I don't know. It's a hard one not to watch when it was on TV. I feel like I put it on all when it was on. I was like, I'm watching big now, I guess. And there's very great scenes.
I'm watching big now, I guess.
Big now.
Great performances. I think it is directed really well. And it outweighs. I think it's unfortunately it does outweigh the manic pixiness of this movie a little bit.
Fair enough.
But I would say I was a sucker for manic pixie stuff, and now it doesn't do me as well. But I was a sucker for it growing up. You know?
Look, I'm guilty of that as well, but I get it. I get it.
I mean, me too. I'm too Kool-Aided into this movie to, you know, I do recognize those faults though.
This is a very Dave movie. Like, I feel like Dave, you would, when we see,
there is a pinball machine like 5 feet away from me right now.
When we see when Tom Hanks takes the girl up to his apartment, as it is like his
Dave's
child.
Like, yeah, of course you have a million bouncy balls in your, oh yeah, who doesn't?
Yeah, I think Dave is just like, yeah, this is a sick apartment. No notes. I love this.
No, honestly, my thought watching this now is it's so sparse in that apartment.
I know, get some couches, man.
There's nothing.
Couches
in
are
there,
nice.
Really. I mean, granted, he just moved in, but like, well, I think it speaks to the kidness of him, is that, you know, he's not really concerned about furniture. He's like, we got to get a soda machine in there. We got to get a trampoline, bouncy balls.
I wanted to throw a baseball at a soda machine so bad and have it come out, you know.
I broke a lot of soda machines that way. But do I regret it? No.
But yeah, I mean, this is a childhood favorite for me. It remains a favorite. I really enjoy this movie. Tom Hanks definitely, I think, was deserving of that Oscar nomination and deserving of the superstardom that he was catapulted into as a result of this movie. And same goes for Penny Marshall.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, she would go on to bigger things after this movie, League of Their Own, just a few years after this, and with Tom Hanks again. So yeah, this is a definite recommend. But one question I have, Ryan, after watching Big again, you said it had been a while since you watched it. Are you having second thoughts about your whole situation right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bummer I can't get on the Avatar ride, you know, that my head can't squeeze through it. But, you know, it's how I was born. And, you know, I just got to take life as it is. And, you know, my head could always get smaller eventually, you know. And and maybe I can ride that ride someday, but maybe it's just not my time. But maybe so.
As AWA wills it, I guess.
Yeah. But you guys have fun on that ride, and I'll.
Ryan, I see you.
Thank you. I see you too.
Oh, wait. You got a little mustard. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, a little mustard.
Oh,
man.
Oh, no, oh, wait.
That was a whole move she was doing. She was looking for that kiss, you know?
She was like, You want it?
She was going for it. I don't know that stuff. I'm taken by her in that. At least, I mean, that's the whole point. We're not supposed to be in Tom's shoes. We're supposed to be, you know, that whole part. Oh, sorry to get back to it.
sorry, it's just Elizabeth Perkins.
All right, well, you got me jonesing to ride that ride again. Let's go back to the carnival, guys.
Yeah, bye, Ryan. Let's...
You guys go. I'm going to stay here and watch DeGrande.
All right, you nerd. I'll watch it too,
yeah. Huca de Beppo.
Huca de Beppo.
That's what he says when he turns big. Mamma mia. Mamma mia.
Gentlemen,
so the robot turns into a bug.
Gentlemen,
boy,
listen
to him.
Just
got a very good idea here. The robot turns into a bug.
This is a great idea.
Someone's a water bug. Johnny. Different sizes and things. And
Susan, we could do ladybugs.
You could have him wreck buildings.
Transformers for girls.
A building is an earth. A bug moves. Yeah. It's got all kinds of possibilities.
This doesn't just happen. This guy just doesn't happen. He doesn't just come to a meeting and say bugs.
The robot turns into a bug.